New rules of the road for the internet.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The Federal Communications Commission is set to approve so-called net neutrality rules today. They're supposed to help ensure internet users get equal access to bandwidth, whether they're visiting a major site like Amazon.com or something more specialized like CatsWearingHats.com. That is a real site, by the way. Marketplace's Eve Trow is with us live in our LA studio to get us up to speed. Good morning, Eve.
Good morning.
Eve, what exactly are these new rules?
Well, the FCC's new map says internet companies can't block content based on who makes it, as long as it's legal. And this is a big deal because, say you get your internet from Quest and you want to use Facebook or Cats Wearing Hats, but Quest has its own social networking or Cats and Hats site, so it blocks your lane to Facebook or makes the speed limit really slow, then shows you a nice wide-open express lane to its site. The companies like Quest insist they have not been doing this. There's evidence to the contrary. Regardless, now the FCC says it's not allowed. But to be clear, the rules only apply to one kind of road, traditional cable and DSL internet providers. Wireless phone companies like Verizon have been busy building new roads to the internet, like smartphones, if you got one of those. And these rules do not cover them.
The companies that have to follow these rules, I would imagine, don't like them. Why is that?
Well, right now, if you start a new website and it gets hugely popular, the company providing the bandwidth to that site, like Quest again, has to accommodate all of your visitors. So if you made the site, it's not your job to add another lane to the highway. Hmm. But internet providers, they say they might want to start charging websites to build extra lanes or charging users to get access to those lanes. And they say that's only fair. And they're probably going to take this FCC ruling to the court to fight over their right to do that.
Hmm. Eve Trow, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The markets are feeling good this Tuesday morning. Overseas markets are up on news that tensions have resolved between North and South Korea. Tokyo's Nikkei index rose 1.5%. London's FTSE is up nearly 0.75%. U.S. markets were mixed on Monday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 0.1% to close at 11,478. The S&P 500 rose to a two-year high of 1247. The holidays are almost here, which means lots of quality family time. But this year, when you try to shift the discussion from politics to the weather, you'll have something pretty interesting to say. The snowstorms in Europe have shut down airports and slowed holiday shopping. Now there are worries it could put the whole UK economy into a deep freeze. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
$1.5 billion a day. That's one estimate of the cost of the freezing weather. Shops and retail chains are the major casualties. Some of them depend on Christmas for as much as a third of their annual profits. But snow and ice are keeping the shoppers away. Online retailers are suffering too. Because of the travel chaos, they can't guarantee delivery before Christmas. Howard Archer is with IHS Global Insight. He says that the weather disruption could cut Britain's overall growth rate at the year's end in half.
If people can't get to the shops before Christmas to buy Christmas presents, some of them may just not bother giving so many presents, and therefore, you know, some of the sales that are lost now are permanently lost.
A bitter blow for an economy still fighting off the chill winds of recession. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by MassMutual, offering LifeBridge to help lower-income families protect their children's education at massmutual.com/LifeBridge.
This year, for the first time, advertisers will spend more money online than in print. Online ad spending was up about 14%, more than $25 billion. Here to talk about this with us is Andrew Frank with Gartner Research's media team. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
How significant is this?
Well, I think it's something that a lot of analysts, myself included, have been predicting would happen for a long time. So in some ways, it's no surprise. But in other ways, it is something of a milestone in the evolution of media.
A lot of retailers and companies not that long ago were very uncomfortable with online ads, or at least the price structure was very unclear. Has that changed recently?
Well, there's been a lot of innovation, as everyone knows, in the way that ads are sold and priced and generally done online. But I think that there's still some confusion and lack of clarity on the local level as to what the best way to advertise online is. And maybe there's an opportunity for the news organizations going forward to help some of those local merchants get a better result from their online advertising.
How big is online advertising right now relative to other media?
Well, it's still down in the 10-15% of media spending overall. But I think to put it in perspective, television is still, you know, more than twice as much spending going on that medium.
And finally, what does this mean for print advertising?
I think that the bright spots on the horizon have to do with making a better connection between the offline world and the online world. Get people from the print medium into something electronic where they can get more information, get some sort of promotion, and redeem it in the store. So I think that the best thing that print can do is think about how they can exploit their connections with the local community and also create less of a boundary between ads that you see in print and the ads that you see online or on mobile devices.
Andrew Frank is Research Vice President with Gartner Research's media team. Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, a new survey from Diet Detective ranked airline meals in terms of nutrition. United Airlines topped the charts with offerings like fruit and yogurt. The lowest score went to U.S. Airways with its French toast snack box. In general, though, I feel like most airline food is pretty low calorie because, you know, usually there isn't any of it. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at S. Vanek Smith. We'll be sending tweets out about the show this morning. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
If you have an iPhone or an iPad, then you know kids love them. But parents are often divided on whether to expose their children to the popular gadgets. Turns out the ones that do may be onto something.
I see this as eventually becoming the preferred delivery method for educational software.
I'm Kai Rizdahl Learning. There's an app for that next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.